Okay, it is That's Entertainment, and I wasn't told that Michael's not here. We have Dahi Ramsey, marketing manager on Green On Theatre. It feels like an upgrade. No offence, Michael. You should be here to defend yourself. How are you getting on, Dahi?
I'm good, Greg. I'm good.
Good stuff. It's good to have you with us. And Fionnuala Rabbit is going to be joining us very, very shortly. Are you a big consumer of TV, cinema, or do you find your focus is very much on the... the theatre side of things, when it's your job and what have you?
No, I am. I'm a big consumer of all of it. I love entertainment in all its forms. So, yeah, very much so.
All it's good and sometimes not so good.
Yeah, I guess so. I think what's happened these days is there's so much out there that if I'm not enjoying something, I'll bail very quickly on it. I'm a binge consumer.
Yeah.
So, like... if I'll wait till a series usually comes out, the whole series, so I can watch it all.
I'm the same, yeah, exactly.
And it's like two or three episodes not happening, I'm gone.
Yeah, I get you. And podcasts too, you listen to a lot of podcasts as well. I'm struggling with podcasts because I listen to them in bed and they really effectively, I'm not sure I've ever finished one. I tend just to fall asleep and I'd be afraid now to listen to them in the car for the same reasons.
I mean, if it works for you, it works for you. I listen to quite a few podcasts. I enjoy them. I particularly enjoy them driving, actually. Yeah. That is definitely somewhere. If I was recommending podcasts, I suppose, pretty much my favourite at the moment is Agony Rants. And I guess with Eurovision weekend, it's Niamh Kavanagh, who, of course, is, I would still think, Ireland's greatest Eurovision person, I'm sure. People can ring and complain about that.
Well, the whole idea, you see, is that it's subjective, isn't it?
Tis.
Yeah.
Tis.
Okay. And so what is Agony Rants then?
So you've Niamh Kavanagh, you've Garrosh Farrelly, the comedian who was in the theatre recently, great comedian. And the two of them, every Monday it goes out. And basically people send in their, it's like an agony column.
Yeah.
So people send in their problems and Niamh and Garrosh will discuss it and come up with possible solutions, possible ways around it. And I suppose part of the fun part is the callback. So people will, send in what happened, what was the outcome, you know?
So you get a follow-up on it as
you
well.
You do. You often get follow-ups. But Garrosh is very funny. He's very good. Niamh comes across as an absolutely lovely human being, you know? So it's just a lot of fun. It's a very light way to start the week, really, you know.
Exactly, and that's what you want, isn't it? And I suppose that's, you know, when a lot of stuff is on demand, we listen to a lot of stuff live, but it gives us the control, doesn't it? It's how do you want to start your week, or how do you want to start your day, or how do you want to ease into the weekend? I wonder what, for these podcasts, what kind of viewership or listenership they have in Ireland, because the challenge I think for anyone who's trying to sort of I suppose monetize them is that it's a relatively small population. Now I do note that some people with podcasts then trying to appeal to an international audience, but there are probably people in those countries like American politics that are probably better placed over there to do it, and it's a struggle. But
I have had people telling me the amount that they reckon that, you know, the Tommy Tiernan, Hector, I won't go to that surname, and Loretta podcast, the Tommy Hector Loretta podcast, telling me the amounts of money they reckon they're making.
Brilliant amounts.
And it blew my mind.
Yeah.
Absolutely blew my mind. I mean, one of the podcasts I listened to that I wasn't going to mention because it's quite, but it's a Leeds United. I'm a Leeds United fan, sadly, you know, for me this year particularly. But... is the Square Ball podcast.
Yeah.
They were a fanzine. They became a podcast. And there's three of them, and they've given up their day jobs. So even in that world, it's only Leeds United fans. They've been able to monetize.
It's a specific cohort
to specifically
of people, isn't
it? Do it, you know. I suppose a couple of other podcasts I was just going to mention. And another person who kind of gave up his day job, who you probably know of, is Dan Harris, who was a very famous newsreader in the States. And he set up the 10% Happier podcast. He actually had a panic attack live on air on CNN, reading the news. He had a panic attack during the news. And that led him to look at how he was coping with his life. So what he's done is he set up the 10% Happier podcast, and the whole point is to be 10% happier. So I've been listening to that one for a few years.
And what percentage happier are you since you started listening to it?
That's a good question, Greg. That's a good question. 10. Let's go 10.
Just about 10.
They have an app as well, so that's the monetized there. The podcast is free. But obviously they've ads on it. But again, another guy who, and I mean, I imagine newsreader on CNN gets paid, you know, slightly more than you, maybe.
Yes, similar. We can't maybe. Bring up my wages on air.
Sorry about that.
That's the voice of Fionnuala Rabbit. The first thing she has to do is effectively look at me and say, don't pour mouth again, Greg.
So he's been able to do that. The other podcast I was going to mention, just one more, is The History of Rock in 500 Songs by a guy called Andrew Hickey. And this is fascinating. The guy's basically done a deep dive on what is rock music, rock and roll. He's doing it over 500 songs, mm-hmm. and the research is incredible. I dived in originally. A friend of mine was telling me the Velvet Underground one. It's 3 hours and 20 minutes long. So if you have a bus journey, there you go. I actually dived in on Otis Redding, Dock of the Bay, favourite song of mine.
Oh, right. So it's not 500 songs over the course of one podcast. It's one.
No. He's 4 years into this, and he's about a third of the way through. He originally said it'd take him 9 years, but he's already over 4 years in, and he's only a third of the way.
It's astonishing, isn't it?
Well, isn't it astonishing?
Okay. And hopefully he's making good money out of it. And do you listen to them on Spotify, or do you subscribe to a particular podcast app, or what?
I use Google Podcasts.
Yeah.
Now, for the 500 songs, I noticed that all the episodes weren't there on Google Podcasts, so Apple Podcasts I went to for that.
Rooted out.
There's any amount of options. You know, your phone has a podcast app in it.
Excellent.
Okay. So you can access
As I say, I'm fine. And I think, too, it's really quite interesting, and I think the BBC are leading it to some extent in that the world of what is a podcast and what is live is all of blurred and blended, if you know what I mean. If anyone uses the BBC app, you'll see that it's a strange combination of replays of previous shows, what's live, and then podcasts and the way it's all categorized. Well, I think it's a bit messy myself, but I'm just getting my head
around it. Well, funnily enough, last night I'd forgotten to go and listen to last Friday because I missed last Friday's show, and I'd forgotten to listen to Michael and Fionnuala rhyming their review of Tartuffe, the Abbey's Tartuffe.
Almost cut that out.
So it was great. So it was great that I was able. I apologise. I did sort of set them up for that. It was a challenge. I set them
perfectly,
but. I was able to go back on the Highland website last night and listen to that. And I love that. That's good, great, you know.
Fionnuala, welcome into studio.
Thank you. Apologies for being late.
It's perfectly
fine. I was doing something as with my other cap on.
Which one? You seem to have so many caps at this stage.
I was down actually getting a tour of an amazing building, which I'd never been inside, which is the old courthouse.
Right.
It's reaching a point now where they're just going to start having conversations about what's going to be done for the community and that kind of thing. And the first thing was just to have a little tour of it. And it's an unbelievable building.
Before we get into the slightly less serious stuff, are there still tickets available for the business launch event coming upon the 9th of June, isn't it?
I was like, I've gotten very confused there. Yes, on the 9th of June, there is. They are slowly selling out, so you need to get onto it very quickly. It's on the 9th of June in the Radisson Hotel. It's on at 12 o'clock. It starts off with a little speech from myself. Then our guest speaker will be Mary Lou McDonald. And then following the lunch, then we are having a little short discussion just about investment in the Northwest and the future of the Northwest. And really the whole theme of it is just kind of talk about how do we maintain the wonderful lifestyles that we can have here if we keep businesses going, social going, everything going, so that Donegal continues to be a wonderful place for people that want to live and work and raise their families
and
here.
And even just here, just during the week, in terms of cybersecurity, there's a potential for a quadrupling of jobs in this area with the right level of investment. And also, too, it is connected and unconnected at the same time because, say, for instance, on Green On Theatre, that's a feather in the cap. In other words, if people like the arts, if they want to be able to see stuff in a local area, move to an area. But also it benefits with an increased population and a more affluent population as well. Not saying that you need an awful lot of money to access it, but do you know what I mean? It's all part of the fabric of a region, isn't it?
For me, it's about a quality of lifestyle, and not want to be separate on that. So now it's more his job. But the theatre has a big plan now at the moment for some work. People are going to see work going on around it in the next while. that's going to make it even more accessible than it is now, and even more of a space and a part of the town that's going to be used more and more. If, you know, in another year, whatever length of time it takes, if the, something nice can happen that makes it a nice public space where the courthouse is, the everybody's probably seen different plans for the town square and the plans that are happening there. It's just going to really make give the town a lovely flow and really make people want to come to Letterkenny just to hang out, just to see what's going on. Just, and I think that just adds, for me anyways, it adds to that sort of a feeling of, wow, this is a really cool, vibrant place to live. People want to hang out there. A lot of stuff happening. And it just makes, you know, adds that little bit of extra to all of our lives.
All right, okay. Colin from Accounts is a show you're watching, Dahi, is that correct?
I have binged Colin
what
from
is
Accounts.
It?
Colin from Accounts is an Australian show.
I have to pause here for a second because this just shows that he never listens to Michael.
I know.
Yes, but my point is, but if he comes in with a list with Colin from Accounts on it, I can't ignore it and say Michael's talked about it.
Well, Michael did talk about it.
Because Dahi recommended it to Michael.
I did. That's actually true.
Well, this is a small little group we have here, isn't it?
But Colin from Accounts, it's an Australian show. And I suppose why I wanted to mention it is when Michael was on, he said he loves a rom-com. And this show, I guess, is a rom-com, but it's an Australian rom-com. I don't like rom-coms. I loved Colin from Accounts. I don't know if it's because it's Australian, but it avoids all those rom-com cliches. The characters are much more... There's a lot more to them. They're much more fleshed out. You know, she's a med student, but she's a bit of a disaster. But she's not as much of a disaster as him. But he has his own business, a brewery, you know. And that's, to me, that feels a bit more like life than most rom-coms. You know, people are good at some things, not at others. We're great at some things. We're a disaster with other things. You know, relationships, where people are in them. But it's just very, very funny.
Which is what you want from a comedy.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And I suppose I've been getting into a bit of Australian stuff. I watched Upright, which is Tim Minchin, the musical comedian, who wrote and did the lyrics for Matilda, the stage show, and is now fabulously wealthy on the back of that. But he certainly wasn't at this point. So he wrote Upright, and it's about trying to move an upright piano across Australia in a dodgy ute, as they call them, a pickup, you know, and the kind of trials and tribulations that across Australia. So not without its flaws, that show. And I think one of the things about shows I find now is people go to Rotten Tomatoes and if they don't see 100%, they'll bail. You know, shows don't have to be...
They have to be above 70, though.
They do have to be above 70.
100%
I have to say...
You watch crap, though.
I know, but... Because
but you're not as bad as you used to be, but you watch crap.
I enjoy it, though. Do you know what I mean? Like one of the best shows I ever watched for just mind-numbingly, was Once Upon a Time, which is basically a show about fairy tales coming to life. Awesome. It was awesome. It was like 7 series. There was 22 episodes in every series, and I was absolutely enthralled with it the whole time. I really wanted to know whether or not Prince Charming and Cinderella were going to get together. It was, like, amazing.
Did you ever watch that one, Grimm?
Oh, yes, 100%.
Loved Grimm.
Yeah.
I mean, there were serious issues with Grimm along the way.
I know.
But loved that.
Those are the kind of things that you don't watch look over serious issues.
No,
you know,
you know
going into it what you're getting. And there's something lovely. Like, as I always say, there was always something lovely about coming home and putting on something like Neighbours. Because you could just sit down, switch off the head, and it just gave you that half hour after you got home from work in which you kind of let everything just flow off you and you're like, all right, now I'm ready to get into family life or do whatever the jobs you have to do at home. And I love that kind of TV. Sometimes that's just the headspace you're in.
TV for me is, and this is why I end up watching so much nonsense, because that's precisely what it is. You know, I don't watch nightly news programmes. I don't watch prime time. I don't watch, you know, I watched the Eurovision last night. I'm, you know, much of it because it was just, you sat there going, what's this? This is, you know,
yeah.
But at the end of the day, it didn't matter. It doesn't really matter what it is or what it
was. Do you know, I was actually thinking, looking at stuff for this today, and I was actually thinking that for all TV, it's all escapist kind of stuff. Because I was thinking, you know, The Mandalorian's just through 3 seasons. Loved it. You know. But when it comes to reading books, I'm reading kind of, well, what they call noir, but it's just gritty life, essentially, that... the words gothic and noir, I've only learned this recently, mm-hmm. basically mean gritty life.
Yeah.
You know, I thought a goth was someone
well,
with
spiky
hair.
Well, you see, I don't, I won't, now this is, I don't know if this is controversial or not, right? But I will not really probably watch a film, TV show or something if people are wearing masks. Because of it being filmed during that time, or if
you're done with that.
Okay. I just don't. That part of my life where I get sort of that break from stuff, I don't want it.
That'll
in
swing
there,
but it will swing back in like 12, 20 years. You know,
possibly,
the nostalgia
just
works in 20-year cycles.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying because I was watching something and then all of a sudden there was an episode in it, and it was got you know you knew where the changeover kind of happened, and you're like. Oh, no, yeah, exactly. Can't be doing with it. Yeah, I like to watch things that are... I mean, I watch lots of different stuff. I do watch documentaries and I watch things like that. But if, like, my pure... If I'm sitting around and having a pyjama day on a Saturday, as my aunt always says, where you walk around with the towel wrapped around your head in case somebody comes to the door, you can just pretend you just got out of the shower. But no, actually, you've just been in your pyjamas for the whole day. And if I'm doing that, then you can be guaranteed that what I'm watching is complete twat.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, I know what you mean.
Just going to be completely something very light or something I've seen before.
Is like, it or is it not a cake?
You've never watched that show.
No, but it's perfect Saturday afternoon pyjama TV show.
Absolutely awesome. Is It Cake is a brilliant show. And everybody should give it at least one go because I guarantee you will not be able to tell.
Why did I mention the cake?
I know, because you're always slagging it and you've never even tried it.
Everybody likes cake.
They make shoes, right?
You've seen it?
Oh. No, I've seen kind of reels on it.
It's so good. It's just amazing. It's amazing what they can do. Don't knock it until you've at least watched some of it. And they had another one then that was like... baker engineers or something. They made up a word and they claimed that something like that. And they claimed the guy that was hosting it went to college in Oxford University. They just said he went to college in Oxford and everybody was supposed to assume that he went to college. Now, he may have. I don't want to disparage the man. I don't know. But I doubt it. He came up with some of the daftest words. But it was absolutely awesome viewing.
All right,
you just sit there and go, awesome.
Right, okay. That is the voice of Fionnuala Rabbit, and Dahi Ramsey's a guest on this item this week. And we'll be back with more from both of them and you at home, at work, or wherever you are after these. And we are now going to be talking to Mary Cannon and Jamie McGee. Jamie, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good stuff. And good morning to you as well, Mary. How are you keeping?
We're good, thank you very much.
Okay, and we can also see transition coordinating teacher Roisin Coyle in the background. Hi, Roisin.
Hello, Greg. How are you?
I am good. Okay, right. Talk to me. I'll start with you, Mary. Talk to me about you're a committee member and a performer at a very exciting Strictly Come Dancing event. So talk to me about it.
So this coming Tuesday, we are hosting a TY Strictly Dancing in Mulrose Hotel at Inlock, and we've been working on this for the past couple of months, and it's in aid of Pieta House, our chosen charity. We have 7 fabulous couples performing 2 dance routines as well as a group dance. We have 20 amazing raffle prizes that have been so kindly sponsored by the local businesses in Milford, Remelton and Letterkenny, as well as lots of fun on the night.
All right, and Jamie, you're on the committee and you're also dancing, are you?
Yeah, so me and Mary are each in a, we're not a couple ourselves, but we have partners, and yeah, there's 7 couples, a group dance, and yeah, it's going good. We're just in the middle of rehearsal right now.
And how's that going?
We have really good. We have a sound rehearsal on Sunday and the dress rehearsal on Monday, and yeah, everything's come together. It's going good.
And the line was breaking up a little bit when Mary was letting us know that it's in the Mulroy Woods Hotel at 8 p.m. this Tuesday, so it doesn't interfere with anyone's weekend plans. A lovely way to spend the evening. The couples are Ceres Thompson and Jamie McGee, Aoife Callaghan and Aaron Kerr, Aoife McMullen and Darcy Atkinson, Amy Lee Rankin and Rory O'Brien, Mary Cannon and Laith Camus, Emily Aiken and Patrick Gibbons-Devine, Hannah Gibson... Gibbons and Dara Coyle. Now, are these a mixture of students, parents, or who are these people, Mary?
These are all TUI students that have come together and decided to take on this event.
Oh, wow. So all of the couples are TUI students. That's brilliant. I love that idea. Okay, great.
We're all 16, 17. So we've all come together and we've decided that this would be a really fun way for us to experience as a part of a group, but as well to like donate the money to a very worthy cause.
Yep, that is Pieterhouse. Tickets just €10. All proceeds, as we've just mentioned, are going to Pieterhouse. The judges on the night, Noel Scott, Magella O'Donnell and Kim Fox. Well done to you for getting a great panel together there, Jamie. No, that line is actually, I think, carved altogether. So what we might do is leave it at that.
Sorry.
Because it's all right. Yeah, I was just saying, Jamie, finally, briefly, that you have got a great panel of judges together as well for the night.
Yeah. Noel Scott, he's a deputy principal, yeah. And Kim Fox, she's a dancer, and yeah, Magella O'Donnell. So yeah, we're really excited. They're, you know, helping a great cause all for free, and it's really exciting. So
brilliant stuff. Listen, you're going to have a lovely night. Roisin, obviously, you and the rest of the school, very proud and looking forward to this yourselves. I'm kind of a little bit disappointed that some teachers haven't been roped into this. But anyway, leave it to the younger ones, maybe. Yep, no, that is just gone. OK, we'll leave it at that. The point being, tickets are €10. All proceeds going to Pieterhouse. It's this coming Tuesday, the 16th of May, in the Mulroy Woods Hotel in Milford. So get along and support that if you can. I'm sure it'll be wedged with families and friends anyway, but the more, the merrier. Fair play to them for organising that. Okay, let me see. Fionnuala, you are watching The Subtle Art of Not Giving a You Know What. Don't say the word. I know it's your radio station and all, but you know, let's
extraordinary.
Have to take all the complaints. So no, I will not be saying the word. We'll call it fudge. So The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fudge is actually, I was very interested to see it as a documentary because I was just saying to Di there, I'm the complete opposite when it comes to my podcasting or anything that I like to listen to. I like it to be more serious. And this is something that I actually got the audiobook for. And I used to have it playing in the car when I was driving. And this book is unusual for me. It was recommended to me by a friend of mine. And as anybody who has ever met me in person, I am an extremely cynical human being with what I fondly like to call probably a lot of mental health issues. So I don't like to look too deeply into my psyche. And I tend to poo-poo a lot of the self-help kind of books and that kind of thing that happens, that I sort of steer clear of it. I don't want to look too closely. If one more person tells me that I should have, you know, read that Alan Carr book in the 80s, I'll like scream, you know.
The Secret, isn't it?
The Secret that put me off on it, the Stop Smoking one. The Secret is one that I did read because Oprah recommended it, and the only secret to The Secret was that she charged €27 for
well,
that book.
I know people that say their life changed after reading that book.
I have family members that kind of live their life in that way, that they make their put their thoughts out into the universe and the universe comes back to them. This is a different kind of a book, and I think that's probably why I enjoyed it. For me, as kind of somebody that thinks of themselves anyways as being quite practical and needing to have answers to stuff and that kind of thing, I actually did find this book a little bit helpful, because basically what it is saying to you is that you only have so many things in your life that you can give your full attention and care so a lot about. Mm. And that what you need to do is just choose. We're all wearing ourselves, ourselves thin with anxiety, with, you know, worrying about the, you know, big pictures, as in worrying about the climate, worrying about government, worrying about anything. And what this book says when you're reading the book is bring that down, have a look at, think about the things you care about, which is really...
So
you know,
are you reviewing a book here or is it a TV show?
No, but so what they've done now is they've made a documentary on it.
Now I get it. Okay, I understand. I wasn't questioning, just trying to find out where we were.
So what they've done now on Netflix is they've made a documentary on it. And the documentary is even more actually interesting and watchable for me than the book, because one, he's sort of... The book is quite a few years old. I think the book must be about 10 years old or so. He actually has two. The other one, the title, I will not be saying out loud either. It's equally rude in some people's minds. But the way that they've done the documentary, which I think people should definitely give a listen to, is he's sort of sitting around and he's sort of telling stories, and then they sort of bring in descriptors. He starts every chapter in the book, and he does the same thing then with the documentary. Is he gives you like real world examples. One of them in particular that always stuck in my mind is there was a gentleman, a Japanese gentleman, who was found in the South Pacific 30 years after World War II, still thinking that the war was ongoing, or at worst, if the war was over, obviously Japan had won. No notion of anything that had happened, and was so firmly stuck in his belief, like that he actually stayed hidden in a jungle in, I'm saying the South Pacific now, but it was in that general area, in the Pacific anyways. And he stayed there and did not come out. People went in looking for him. And he never revealed himself and wouldn't come out because he was so...
Probably even hid from them.
He so was stuck in his own mindset and his belief that, of course, his belief was correct and there could be no other explanation. When they tried to explain to him what had happened, no, he didn't believe it. And that, I think... So what they've done then is they take that, but they've sort of modernised it a small bit as because what they're using now is they talk about things in the world today. And I think everybody will agree that there are... factions or communities or whatever way you'd like to phrase them in our society today that are in a mindset, be that mindset or wrong, depending on what you think, but can't be moved from it, can't discuss it.
Of course there is.
So it's interesting.
Yeah, but you can't, I presume, and I haven't seen it, but you can't disengage with life either, though, because everywhere you look, you're presented with these...
Oh, no, he doesn't say that you disengage with it. He just says you just have to let... things
wash over
yourself.
Okay, right.
And you need to sort of
has it worked
think
for you?
About well, I think so. There's been certain bits and pieces
that
in
that I feel,
you kind of... Well, it's hard to know whether it's the book or it's age, because I think sometimes that comes a little bit with age as well.
I'm getting worse with age.
I just sort of think, I don't care about that anymore. I only care about this, this and this. And I do think, but to me it was just an interesting thing to look at your life and sort of say, where's all my attention going? When I'm lying in bed at night and I can't get my mind to relax, what is it that I'm actually thinking about? Mm. And is that thing something that I really care about? You know, the way you could be stuck on something to do at work, you could be stuck on something to do at school.
Yeah. And it's often trivial stuff.
And it just gets played and it ends up in a loop in your head and you're kind of lying there trying to relax or trying to watch TV or trying to do something. And we're all in that headspace. And then, as I said, the other side that I thought it was interesting is that he talks a lot about, like, you know, being, like he always says, you know, being wrong is one of the best things that you can be. Mm-hmm. It's difficult and it's hard, but it's part of being growth as a human being. Mm-hmm. It also means that it opens you up to new thinking, new thoughts, you know, new experiences.
I don't know what's going on here today because Michael's disappeared. I don't know where he is. He's been replaced by Daheen. It's good to have here. But it also appears that you've been replaced by someone that looks very similar to Fionnuala, right? But actually has emotions.
I know. Insight. Shocking.
And advice.
I know.
It's where are Michael and Fionnuala gone?
I know, but I told you I'm joking. You are 100% right, because even as I was writing this down to put on the list of today, I was like, this is definitely not what people would think of me in your wheelhouse.
I know.
And I know, friends of mine will all be laughing tomorrow as they go on their walks and listen to the podcast, because that's usually what they do when they're working today. They have it as their extra thing in the morning. That's what I'm saying. And I think that's why I actually put this on, to tell people, check it out and just see, because I wouldn't be somebody...
You're not a candidate necessarily for it.
I, like, if you were coming to me, talking to me, I've read this book, you
I
know, and many
you.
People
know
have over
saying,
the years.
And I'm the same as
and
you.
And I'd be like, going, like, The Secret. I was like, you know what I mean? Seriously, you're putting stuff out there into the universe. Isn't that just all birthday wishes, you know? And I'm very bad for it. But this thing, there was something that was just very grounded in this. Now it goes on a bit faffy and there's always bits and pieces in it.
There's stuff in there.
I thought the basic message of it was, you know, really all we care about is our families, that we have, you know, safety and security for them, and as much as we possibly can, that people are, you know, and that's how you live your best life. Mm. And that's really what he's talking about.
It is a bit of self-help, though. Stuff. I mean,
100%.
You can't overreach on it. This is just a bit of self-help, maybe for a bit of introspective thinking and a bit of a reassessment. I mean, how could that not be a good thing? Dahi, you'd be open to such.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think I was actually chatting with someone recently about the fact of, you know, we know that there's kind of an epidemic of anxiety out there, you know. And one of the things we were talking about was the fact that so much stuff that happens in the world, like when I was a kid, I mean, we were, like, CND was a huge thing. We were under threat of nuclear war. There are nuclear bunkers all over the north. I think Colin Murphy, the comedian, did a great programme on them, going investigating them. But at the same time, like, a lot of stuff was going on in the world, but there might be a wee bit in the paper that your daddy got.
Mm.
You know, you weren't. Whereas now, with social media, with TV, with everything, it's brought
everything. I get you, Dahi, but I think there's an awful lot of people who were incredibly anxious and worried and stressed at that time, but there was no space in the house to talk about it, or there was no outlet for it. They were bad with their nerves, and there was no word for it as such. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Now, I'm not sure if we've gone too far the other way in categorising everything, because what you've described in terms of the circular thoughts and all that type of stuff, if you went to a doctor, they would say that's classic anxiety, right? But you see it as a quirk, right, that you're able to sort of work on yourself. Other people might end up being medicated for that, dependent on, do you know what I mean? Dependent on who you speak to and how you describe it.
No, look, it's a good thing that we're putting, and I don't want to say putting labels on, but that we're acknowledging that it is a thing, that anxiety is real and that people suffer from it. And for some people, it can have a huge impact on their life. But I have to say for myself, I do agree with that. I mean, I agree, when I was growing up, those people had that anxiety. I don't think they were six.
No, they weren't. But I was I suffered greatly with anxiety. But I didn't know what it was. I thought it was just something wrong with me when I was a kid. Yeah. I just thought there was something. Yeah. I
genuinely think that there's a lot more.
And I couldn't have gone and articulated it.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I couldn't have articulated it. I couldn't have found the words to say how I was feeling about stuff.
And there wasn't a space. Or
do you know what I mean?
It wasn't.
Look, I think things have come a long way, and it is good that people can get help, and it is good that now there's spaces where they can articulate. Because to be honest, a lot for my answer, for the level of what I would not necessarily consider anxiety,
but what you're talking about is that
I would say myself personally, I have usually for me, if I can just voice it, you know what I mean, or if I can work out in my head, why am I thinking about that? Sure, that's that's crazy. But as in, like, it's like, why let this go over when I don't really care about it? But I think, you know, so that's why I would like to take away from the fact when there's some people who have genuine, as I would say, anxiety levels
and the
that
listeners,
need...
Listen, the listeners, need have the listeners get that. And we don't have to... where you're coming from, but we can't pussyfoot around with language either. People know exactly what you're talking
about. Yeah, there's different levels.
There's clinical stuff, and then there's stuff that we can cope with better. And I think everyone
That's what I think we have more of. I think the clinical stuff, I think we do hear more of it, and that's good that it's out there. What I find is a lot of people... who, even friends of mine, you know, people that you're just sitting down talking to, and they're just kind of worried about stuff that, as you say, it never occurred to me that anything bad would happen to the climate.
Right.
Like, it'll be grand. That ozone layer thing, I was like, ooh, it's going to get sunny in Galway.
And other people deal with things as well. I'm not getting into that conversation by denying it's a thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's a coping mechanism as well. Yeah. I'm not getting into that debate, and I'm not talking about anything in specifically, but some people...
Some people's coping
mechanism is simply that. Right, okay.
It doesn't sound happening.
Back with more after these. All right, the hour flying in. Sam Cuddy is musical director of the Sperrin Choir, and I hope he can join me now. Are you there, Sam?
I am indeed, yes.
Good to have you with us. Great to have you on the show. I feel good too. The Sperrin Choir, for those who aren't aware, are based in Mid-Ulster, and you are making your first trip for quite some time to Donegal, and you're here tomorrow at 8:30 p.m. And it's a very special event. Talk to me a little bit about it, please, Sam.
Yes, we're a choir that usually perform in two series during the year at Christmas time, and now our spring series. And it's been really from before COVID that we've had a weekend away with the choir. And as I say, when we were in discussion about a year ago, we talked about going back to Donegal again. We've had fond memories of being up in Dunfanaghy and performing there. And when we were deciding then where we might perform, the Chríslach disaster was very in everyone's mind and very much to the fore, and we felt it would be possible we could do something to help there. So we're having a charity concert tomorrow night in the Friary, and we're hoping to support the search and rescue teams that really were so significant in that disaster and played such a huge role. So the critical emergency response team, Canine Search and Rescue, Northern Ireland, and the Search and Rescue Dog Association.
Yeah. And there was a cross border immediate reaction to that, and then here we have a sort of a cross element to this. And what a beautiful setting, the Ards Friary Retreat Absolutely. Centre, and what a spectacle it's going to be. It's a 50 person choir, if I'm not mistaken, and you're going to be taking the audience on a journey through the musicals. So I imagine people's favourites will have made the playlist, Sam.
Yes, it's a very different programme. Actually, we do doff our hat to the big musicals and Sound of Music and Les Miserables and so on. But we also try to introduce the audience to some of the new musicals as well, and Dear Evan Hansen and Rent and so on, although Rent's, I suppose, not that new now either. But we certainly we will look at the most popular songs there, some songs that the audience might not even realise is from a musical originally, you know, so the likes of The Impossible Dream there from a minuscule musical called the Man from La Mancha and so on, you know, so I think there'll be something there for everyone in Brilliant. The audience that they appreciate.
Okay, it's going to be a wonderful night. Saturday the 3rd of May, that's tomorrow evening, 8:30 p.m. in the beautiful Ards Friary Retreat Centre, a choir of 50 with accompaniment on piano by Gail Evans. Tickets are available on Eventbrite or at Ards Friary in St. Michael's Church, Creasla, and in Arnold's Hotel and Holy Trinity Church, Dunfanaghy, and also available on the door on the night. Yous are all very welcome back to Donegal. It's great to have yous back, all
Thank
for
you.
A great
We're really
course.
Glad to be back.
And enjoy the evening. Thanks so much, Sam.
Thanks a lot, Greg.
All right, take care of yourself.
Okay.
Another thing for you to do tomorrow night. Okay, I want to take this quick break, and then that clears the decks somewhat for us as we head towards the end of the programme. Okay, we're in the company of Fionnuala Roberts and Dahi Ramsey, marketing manager at On Green On Theatre. And I'm really sorry to interrupt you. I feel very ignorant interrupting you chatting.
We were having a really interesting conversation about Korean television.
Well, we're not going to talk about that now.
Oh, really? Because Dahi's well into it.
Yes, but can you imagine if he walks out of here not mentioning what's coming up in On Green On Theatre? That would be some crack. And the Henry Girls, they're coming up performing, are they?
They are. They're tomorrow night as well. The Henry Girls, always brilliant, always fantastic. You know, I've often said I think they're the natural successor to Clannad and Donegal in terms of, you know, Donegal's
musical output.
Ambassadors out there, you know, fantastic talents and always a great show. So they're on tomorrow night. We have next Wednesday, we have Mojo Mickeybo, which is a Belfast show, which kind of a classic now, Mojo Mickeybo. It was the first theatre show I ever saw where I thought, oh, theatre can actually be interesting. It can be fun. It was 25 years ago, probably. It was at the Eric Larch Festival. And it's very fast-paced, very interesting. It's a Catholic kid, it's a Protestant kid growing up against the backdrop of the Troubles.
Oh my God.
But it's very fast.
Stick
very
me down for that. That Good. Sounds like I should go.
We will. Other, I was going to mention, not just in Green, I suppose, there are other great venues around the county, you know, and I'm a firm believer of a rising tide carries all boats. The Baller has some great things on at the moment. One that caught my eye, Solve Along a Murder, She Wrote. You know, that's on the 18th of
June. Too soon. I'm still upset about poor Angela. Her loss is still too great for me.
You know, which awesome. Looks like fun. And they've the Frank and Walters, which excited me. They've done a lot of good musical things. Of course, they had Paul Heaton recently. The Frank and Walters on the 7th of July. And I think if anyone's ever watched, what's the Cork show? Oh, The Young Offenders.
Yes.
That classic scene on the bus where the guy kidnaps everybody on the bus and they sing After All. That's a Frank and Walters song. They were purveyors of great pop tunes.
Queen Charlotte, a lot of people waiting for that from the makers of Bridgington.
Bridgerton.
Don't care.
You should care because it's awesome.
I don't care.
Awesome is my word for today. I don't know what's going on with me, but I'm full of positivity, whatever's going on with me.
It's radiating across. I'm almost not miserable.
I know. I'm apparently, yeah, whatever. I need to not delve too deeply into my psyche and figure out what happened there.
Keep it going.
No, this is for anybody that is like me, a lover of the Bridgerton, have read all the books and all that as well. But anybody who enjoyed the Bridgerton, we've been waiting a little while. We kind of thought maybe it was going to be a Christmas that we'd see the third series. I'm particularly waiting for it because this series is going to feature a girl that grew up and went to school in the same school as I did, sadly, years and years and years, as they say down home. I know her mother, Nicola Coughlan. She's from Oranmore, where I grew up. And it's going to feature on her character, specifically on the next Bridgerton. This is sort of like a little side project that they did. Anybody who watches Bridgerton knows that there is Queen Charlotte rules over the whole, the kind of the whole society in England in it. It is sort of loosely based on a queen of the time where there was talk about that she was part, that she was possibly Spanish and had dark skin, which they wrote off. But now there's a lot of talk. Historians are kind of looking into it to see whether or not she may actually have been, as we would say now, ethnically some a person of colour as such. So that's what they're doing. They've done this in it. There's a whole big thing. If you love Bridgerton, you're going to love this. It's very short and sweet. There's only about six episodes in it.
It looks lovely. I mean,
yeah, oh, it's beautiful. It's stunning.
Is this the programme where there is a warning of stuff that your granny wouldn't want to watch?
Oh, yeah, there's always... Well, in the first one. The second one was a little bit more relaxed.
It pops up on the screen, does it? No?
No. No, it was just in the... I was watching it with my mother and then thankfully the one episode
sure
where things
I read
got
something.
Steamy.
I thought they had done... Anyway, I must
have... Oh, look at it. It could be... other people could be saying it because it's one of those things where you think, oh, this is lovely. It's like a period drama. It's all lovely, lovely. And then every once in a while they just start doing more than holding hands, which, you know, obviously...
It's a disgrace.
Obviously.
You can skip.
Well, you just don't want to be sitting there with your mother while she's holding the remote and you're like, oh... Fast forward. So, or your granny or whoever you might be watching TV with. But this, it's really good. It's got all the costumes. It's got all the pizzazz and everything of the Bridgerton.
Will it keep Bridgerton fans happy?
I think so. Okay, I think it will keep Bridgerton. Everybody that I've spoken to that is a little bit further in it than I am is really enjoying it. It basically is the love story for Queen Charlotte. It's how she became who she was and all her like backstory. And it's just a little short snippet to tide us over until we eventually get to season three.
Right, okay. All very, very exciting indeed. Stay right where you are, Dahi and Fionnuala, because we go now to Carlo and Alan O'Reilly of the Carlo Weather Channel. Morning to you, Alan. Thanks for your time today.
Good morning, Greg.
Right, okay. This is going to be good. I'm getting positive vibes from you here, Alan, over Zoom. What's the weather like for the rest of today and into the weekend?
Well, I'm always positive, but it's going to be especially positive today because it's a lovely day today. Nice sunshine, getting up to maybe 18 degrees, 19 degrees. Now, a bit cooler on the coast, obviously. Tomorrow will be also, it'll actually probably be a bit warmer tomorrow, getting up to 19 degrees for many parts, possibly touching 20 degrees. A little bit more cloud around, especially later in the day, but some good sunny spells. It'll stay dry until late tomorrow night. So good day again tomorrow. Rain then will clear early enough the northwest on Sunday morning. So you'll probably have the best of the day Sunday in the northwest in terms of the rain will clear, but temperatures will drop right back to 12 or 13 degrees. So if you enjoy the heat, make the most of today and tomorrow. Maybe get the shorts on because it will get much cooler. Good news is next week sees very little rainfall, just a very odd shower, but temperatures struggling to get above 15 degrees up until Thursday when they might start to pick up again. But yeah, just a little bit of rain tomorrow night, Saturday night, Sunday morning. Other than that, it's pretty good.
Is this the start of summer, Alan?
Well, yeah, I suppose it depends. It's a nice settled spell. High pressure is just not getting in far enough over us. So it's just to the west of us. And we have much cooler air kind of trapped in underneath us. So apart from today and tomorrow, there's no great sign of heat. Now, to me, summer is nice, dry weather. Some people go really look for the heat. So it's not going to feel like summer next week, if I'm being honest with you, Greg. It's going to feel much cooler. But I think a break from these thundery showers and heavy rain will certainly be welcome. And remember, meteorological season of summer doesn't start till June. So summer hasn't even begun.
All right. Thank you very much indeed, as always, Alan. Alan O'Reilly there from the Carlo Weather Channel. You can check him out across social media. Right. OK. Instagram story. We asked our followers, are they called on Instagram? I suppose they are. We asked them what podcasts they're listening to. P1 with Matt and Tommy. My Therapist Ghosted Me with Joanne McNally and Vogue Williams. That's I've seen a bit about that. And
they sold out the O2. What do they call the O2? The three arena.
I don't understand how they
Joanne herself
transfer the podcast to the stage, but people
it's a big thing that they're doing now because they sold out one that they did. I've tried listening to because somebody said to me I can't do it at all.
Joanne herself did 70 nights at Vicar Street last year. Yeah. Like, that's Croke Park. That's Bruce Springsteen levels.
I know.
And it's all popularity. Now, she's a great comedian.
Yeah.
But it is all popularity based on
the Tommy Hector and Larita podcast as well. Yeah. You referenced that.
Yeah.
Right, a caller says, we're all delighted Britain's Got Talent is back. I used to watch that show.
Oh, I can't.
But it's the way they produce it now with the audience stuff and the fake clap and the Simon turning around to...
I think they
changed the production in a year and I can't remember what it was. And after that, it became intolerant to me because you would see the audience, they would be blank behind the judges, but they'd be piping in sound at certain parts of songs.
You know when the clap's going to start when someone's performing.
I don't know. Yeah.
Just go, the sign comes on. And
Keith Sutherland's back. He's in Rabbit Hole. Of course, he's just finished watching it. Very good watch. You need to pay attention when watching it or you might miss something. Also, Start Silo on Apple TV. Two episodes in, very dark but intriguing.
Okay.
Great book by Liz Nugent, Strange Sally Diamond. Another caller says, I'm reading A Shared Home Place by Seamus Mallon about Northern Ireland. I've passed it to many people who love it. Seamus perhaps not delighted that the one copy's going around, but anyway, be that as it may. Hi, Greg and Guardians of the TV. There's always an alternative universe for a fave character to return. I mean, coming out of the shower has already been done, but enjoyed it a lot, but maybe three is enough before it gets bland. That's on Guardians of the Galaxy, I presume.
Oh, yeah.
Which reminds me that the... obsession has become boring and bland, and actually Googlebox saved me as I'd the following program taped and caught the end. Enjoying Citadel and never have too much Tucci. By the way, has anyone seen Saul Goodman around Donegal Town? He was in Donegal Town. That comes in from Kevin. I started watching Citadel on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a good potential. It's my little side action, if you know what I mean.
But I'm not sure if everybody else does because that phrase does mean something else.
Worse things you could be at.
It's just my own program. Do you know what I mean? It's a bit of side.
So when you're watching under the covers, like where nobody can see you. No, there's some great actors in it. Anyways, I haven't managed to get around to watching it yet, but there is some good actors in it. So hopefully,
right.
It's a while since Amazon brought out Anthony.
It is, and it's okay. It's heavily CGI'd, and I don't mean CGI'd. I want about in terms of like they're on a train and it's incredibly heavily CGI'd. It's not that it's out in space or something, but you can see it's been green screened to death. But that being said, I think it has a bit of potential. It's not going to be a classic, but you know we're always looking for something a little bit different, aren't we? Right, yous were talking about Korean TV.
Mm-hmm. Yes. My wife, Deirdre, about 2 years ago started watching Korean shows on Netflix, and pretty much all she now watches is Korean shows. Mm. Any genre. It's amazing it's developed the genre she watches.
What is it that attracts her to it?
I think there's
Can she now speak Korean?
Well, this is it. She's on day, I'll check my notes, 430 of her streak on Duolingo doing Korean.
Wow.
She's done an online course with Queen's University in Belfast.
This is by the way, this is a podcast. That's all podcasts are.
That's a podcast. Yeah,
you go, oh, really?
Yeah.
Podcast.
Yeah, to talk about Korean shows.
Yes. I know.
Learning Korean because she watched Korean TV.
There's an old-fashionedness about it. There's a real manners about Korean and the way they do things.
Imagine.
It's quite formal. And I think she really likes that. There's a lot about it. You know, I think she likes that. I asked her for recommendations and she said, it's okay to not be okay, which is kind of light rom-com set around the staff and people in a psychiatric hospital, which doesn't sound that light, but it actually is. The lead psychiatrist, I actually watched that one with her, so I know. The lead psychiatrist, the guy in it, you'll see him in loads of Korean stuff. He's a brilliant comic actor.
Yeah.
And she just loves them and she's just watch so many.
And I actually, you know, in my ignorance, and I really mean that, is what discourages me, and I've said it on this program before, there's too much foreign language stuff on Netflix that doesn't appeal to me. But there you go. It's for a broader audience, and it's my narrow-mindedness that's the problem.
But I think we've got,
I have always assumed if I see something that's Korean, that it's going to be violent. In my head, they do a lot of, you know, what was that Squid Game and all different stuff. Yeah. And like, I assume that that's kind of a big genre in Korean television, is that, you know, those kind of shows and TV.
Well, unfortunately, we have come to the end.
All right, we'll try out Korean. Dahi
Ramsey, thank you so very much for coming in. I think we got through most of what was on your list, Fionnuala. We had a wee sample of yours. Thank you. I know you're incredibly busy and we appreciate you calling up. Have a lovely weekend, the both of you. And that's where we have to leave it on the programme. Thank you so much for all of you who listened, and for those of you who watched the show. We'll be back with you on Monday at 9.